Today's readings are all about the law and the commandments. And as we look at the Old Testament, we might think that we're familiar with the commandments. We know the Ten Commandments. We've even seen the movie. We've got them all down. But in truth, in the Old Testament, there were the Big Ten. But with all the other little things that get added in the book of Leviticus, which, by the way, if you ever try to read the book of Leviticus, you'll know why no one ever reads the book of Leviticus. It's about 600 ways how to kill a cow, or properly slaughter a sheep, or wash a cup or something. Because with all that added together, there weren't just 10 commandments in the Old Testament. There were actually 613 commandments. And people wanted to know and keep all of them. In fact, our first reading today makes it sound pretty simple. Sirach just comes out and says, look, if you want to keep the commandments, you can, so do it. It's as simple as choosing to do it. There's fire and there's water. Which do you want? Death, life. So choose the commandments. He makes it sound so easy. But Jesus, in the gospel, kind of turns things a little bit. Now, we're tempted to think that in the Old Testament, there was all these rules and laws and stuff. But thank goodness Jesus came, because when Jesus came, he did away with all those silly rules and stuff. And now we live in the spirit of love and no rules, no law. Well, Jesus starts off by saying something very different today in our gospel. Jesus comes and says, don't think that I have come to get rid of the law. Hardly. He says, I have not come to abolish the law, but rather to fulfill it. And that's really the key, to see how Jesus fulfills the law. He says something very challenging. He says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes and Pharisees were the ones who really did think that they kept all 613 commandments. They knew how to kill a sheep 7 ways to Sunday. They could slaughter any cow that you could bring. There was no cow too tough. They knew how to wash cups and jugs and kettles and bless beds. They could do it all 613, or so they thought. And Jesus says, unless you're better than them, unless your righteousness surpasses the scribes and Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that would be a pretty big challenge. Probably most people would have heard that and thought, surpass the scribes and Pharisees? I can't even count to 613, yet alone keep all those commandments. I can't do that. But then Jesus goes on to give what he means by fulfilling the law. In fact, all through the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew is very much showing Jesus as the new Moses, the new lawgiver. And so he does something in his teaching today that is very unique, that no rabbi would have done. You see, at the time of Jesus, if you were a disciple of a rabbi and you wanted to learn his teaching, all his disciples would come sit at his feet and we'd say, Rabbi, give us a word. Give us a word about this or that. And the job of the rabbi was to know all of the teaching of the previous rabbis and synthesize it. So I say, Rabbi, a word. And the rabbi would say, well, Rabbi Hillel says this, and Rabbi Gamaliel says this, and another rabbi says this, and the rabbis of this time said this. And that would be it. That was a proper teaching by a rabbi. But Jesus is not that kind of rabbi. He does something that would have been very shocking. He says, you have heard that it was said. It said here this, and it said here that. But I say to you, no rabbi would do that. Who do you think you are? You can't give new teaching. Who do you think you are? Are you God that you could give us a new teaching? And of course, that's exactly Matthew's point, that Jesus is God. He is the new lawgiver, and he does give not so much a new teaching, but as he says, a fulfillment of the old teaching. Just so we get what he says, he gives us several examples. For instance, he looks at the old law, the Ten Commandments, and he says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. Whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever gets angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Oh my goodness. All of a sudden, we've got the same punishment inflicted on the person, not who actually kills someone, who just even gets angry. Maybe doesn't even think about killing, but just gets mad. It seems like Jesus is hardly doing away with the law. He's actually raising the bar so high, we wonder if anyone could even live up to it. You know, this is one of those commandments, thou shalt not kill. We all know the fifth commandment, but how many of us, when we go to confession, when we prepare and examine our conscience, maybe we go over the Ten Commandments and we're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay. And then we get to 5 and we're like, okay, thou shalt not kill. And you're like, whew, all right, there's one I didn't break. Good. Didn't kill anybody. And we move on. Jesus is kind of saying today, stop. Not so quick. Been angry? What about someone who just says to his brother, Racha, it means in Aramaic, just, you idiot, or you fool. The point that Jesus is getting at is he's going beyond just what it says, thou shalt not kill. And he's trying to get to what was the law about in the first place. It's not merely to keep us from killing people, that's important, but what's in our heart? Jesus is going to go to that over and over again in the gospel today. What's really in our heart? If we go around with hatred in our heart, mad at the world, mad at everybody around us, not liking our brothers and sisters, we're not living the law. Jesus wants us to be free from that. That's why there's the law, to say, don't be angry. Don't give in to Satan and be bound under his yoke of going around mad at everybody in the world. If the only thing that keeps you from killing people that you might want to kill is because maybe you don't have the opportunity or you're afraid to go to prison, well, then you're not keeping the law. And Jesus gets right to the heart of that. He says, don't even get angry. Raising the bar, fulfilling what the law is about. He says, be reconciled. If you find yourself at odds with anybody, go be reconciled. The heart of the law. He says, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Again, the sixth commandment, we all know that one. We might think, well, good, I haven't broken that one. Jesus says, again, says, you've heard it said you shall not commit adultery, but I say, whoever even looks with lust at another person has already committed adultery in the heart. That really raises the bar high. Jesus isn't talking here about the natural desire of men for women. That's all good. The lust he's talking about is when I look at another person and I want to use them as an object for myself. That's what's in our heart when he's talking about this kind of adultery in our heart. So he's saying, yeah, you know the letter of the law, but behind it, what's in the heart? If we go around all day seeing other people as merely people I can use to climb higher on the ladder or to use for my own gratification, if that's what's in our heart, then we're not fulfilling the law. We're not even coming close to fulfilling the law. And just to get home the point, Jesus says these kind of outlandish things. If your eye causes you to sin or your hand causes you to sin, tear it out, cut it off, throw it away. Now, it's not that Jesus wants us to mutilate ourselves, but he is trying to show the seriousness of what he's saying. If when we look in our heart, we find all this lust and envy and greed, he's saying, tear it out. It's life and death, serious. Because the truth is, what's in our heart eventually comes out. It's not going to stay there. It's going to bubble over somehow. If we're not in control of our passions will control us. And that's where Jesus wants to come and fulfill the law and give us freedom. He says, you've heard it said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife causes her to commit adultery, and if he remarries someone who's divorced, he commits adultery. Again, a hard saying, but Jesus is going right to the heart of the law. You see, that law about writing a bill of divorce, Moses did that at a time when people knew that marriage is only broken by death. And so people were literally tempted to kill their spouse to get out of a marriage. And so there was this bill of divorce thing. But Jesus goes right to the heart of it and says, in the beginning, that's not how it was. In the beginning, God made marriage, and man and woman are joined in a permanent union of life and love. And there's a reason for that, because married love is supposed to image on earth the way that God loves us. Just as God will never give up on us, he will never turn his back on us, he will be faithful despite our unfaithfulness, married love is supposed to image that love of God. That's why he says, You can't just write some civil decree and dissolve what God has put together. It's permanent, so don't even think that way. Again, it goes to what's in the heart. Am I really trying to image with my husband, with my wife, the faithful love of God that is fruitful in our family? Jesus takes these well-known laws, and he does a really good kind of examination of conscience for us. He calls us to look deep in our hearts to see what's there. We know that if we don't like what's there, we have the beautiful sacrament of penance. We can go empty our heart and allow God to fill it with his grace. As we prepare to come to the table of the Eucharist today, let's look what's in our hearts. Do we really have a place that is free of attachments, that we can welcome Jesus with love? Or maybe, even though we're keeping the letter of some of these things in the law, maybe our hearts are really not quite in the right place. Today we pray for Jesus' beautiful gift of healing, for peace, that he would flood our hearts with his love, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we might not need to know 613 different ways to kill a cow, but we do need to know that Jesus calls us to fulfill and complete the law, and that, as St. Paul reminds us, the fulfillment of the law is love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. May that be what is found in our hearts.